his mouth, tasting freedom while he death. Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, who are you again?
I would be Addy.
Why do I do a show with you?
Because I'm great. And you have no other friends.
The greatest intercontinental champion of all time.
Of all time.
And I just, in the background here, we're on Skype this week because, you know, we got lots going on there. Are we going to have a guest on? Is Harley going to be on? Or are we just going to do these jokes with just you?
I think it's just going to be me.
Okay. Because your house went on the market today. You're busy. What's going to happen, by the way, if you sell your house?
Oh, move. Oh, move.
Yeah. Anyways, in the background here, 4 minutes into Kansas City versus Philadelphia, Kansas City is up 10-0.
So nice.
That Chip Kelly offense really, really working there.
Yes, I no kidding. No kidding. What I thought that first, I thought that Philadelphia would get out to an early lead and that Kansas City would have to make a comeback in superhero-like fashion.
We're not in the Kemper Arena. This is in Philadelphia.
Oh.
Sorry. This is where people can chant, "You sold out to Andy Reid."
Yeah, and Santa Claus.
Yeah, boo him. Yeah. All right, let's move on, though. You watched Night of Champions. I didn't, so tell me what you thought. I watched football.
You did. You watched the football there. Night of Champions was an impactful show to the point where I'm racking my brain trying to remember what happened. Now, it was a really overall shitty show that was raw.
Which is the exact reason I didn't watch it.
Yeah,
and that's pretty much what I said to you as we're heading into it. It's like, this feels like the B-est of B shows.
Yeah, and you're like, well, do you want to watch this? What do you want to do? And I just said, like, no, let's just watch football. Yeah. And then I had it on my laptop streaming it as it went on, so I paid no money for it.
Legally, but from the WWE website, right?
No. Legally, I won't give the website out because I don't want them to shut it down so I could do it again for Battleground in 3 weeks. But
More people will be watching it on the stream than I think will pay for it. So
you have to be careful though not to cross them.
But what if on the other side is where you left your paddle?
I don't know. We'll just let the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man have it.
Did you call me? What did you call me?
Stay Puft. Are you going to lose some weight?
Hey, tell me something. Hey, Addy. When you get to your next house there, when you get to it, am I going to come over? And when I know where your new house is, what are you going to do?
You're going to find out where I live? Oh, move.
Seriously, are you gonna? You're not gonna let me come over?
I don't think so. Why?
Anyways, so Night of Champions.
Anyway, Night of Champions. I think I texted you when it was three quarters of the way through that the heel had won every match.
Yeah.
So, or no, it wasn't the heel. It was that there were no title changes.
Yeah.
So no title changes to me is setting up Daniel Bryan winning, which of course he did. Yeah. Again, the big thing. It was a one match show.
It was a
match and angle, right? I mean, there wasn't really a match because nobody gave a fuck about Axel and Punk. It was about when he got his hands on Heyman, right? Yeah. So, and that was good. And the Ryback is your new Paul Heyman guy, seal it with a kiss, and it was done.
That was awesome.
But it was, and that's a great pairing, and that's a perfect role for the Ryback.
It's also perfect because you can play off of you know, a year earlier that Punk is the heel with Heyman, right? And Ryback's the babyface.
Yeah, and it also positions yourself. You've got a big muscle bound.
If you want to turn Lesnar.
When you turn Lesnar. Not if you want to. When you turn Lesnar.
Yeah.
And it's positioned that way. So that's all setting up some good things. So I like that. Daniel, I mean, again, I liken this back to this. This really was like a 98 show. 1998, where, you know, you had your Austin match. You may have had a Taker match if he wasn't involved in the Austin match. And then you had everything else. You had your Godwins and your Bariquas and your, you know, everything else.
Yeah.
So that's what you had here. You had everything else, and then you had Daniel Bryan, who, to quote Vince Russo, is a star.
Yeah.
The heads are and this wasn't even that it was that he got the more of a reaction than everybody else. It was that he got the reaction. You know, he got the fingers are pointing and the crowd is popping as soon as the
reaction at the level of the great superstars that have turned the business around in the past.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. He got a I mean, I won't say Hogan and Austin and Rock, but
pretty goddamn close.
Austin and Rock at that beginning stages, right?
Yeah.
And probably, and Hogan kind of, it's difficult to tell because technology was different and he didn't take off immediately either, right? So
No.
Probably on that same level.
This is the level of what Goldberg was getting at his height is what you're saying.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And he had that, and it was just, and then the title won, and the title win, and he had the, you know, everybody fingers pointing, and
Dusty
him running
finish.
Clapping hands.
Dusty finish.
That was
Dusty finish.
No, that was on Raw.
Oh, sorry.
That was on Raw. And just the Dusty finish, you get let down easy. But it's
Dusty finish.
No, that's
I'm too lazy to cut my both my hands, so I'm just hitting myself on the forehead.
Really? Wow.
How's that sound?
Still, I don't know, but it's still jiggling. Mm.
That's my chin.
There's
something something will start jiggling on me on like Thursday and stop jiggling sometime Sunday later on.
That's right.
Body.
That's right.
But I don't like to check and see where.
Me either. I think, again, Daniel Bryan won, big reaction. You knew it was a fast count as soon as it happened. Announcers didn't play it up. You kind of knew the story the next night. So fast forward to the next night on Raw where, you know, yeah, Hunter comes out and did the fast count and is obviously, got Scott Armstrong to get in on this. And what Daniel Bryan should have done is what he didn't do is he didn't get to Scott Armstrong soon enough to pay him off to make it an actual legitimate three count. See, that would have been money.
Yes.
Brother. Nick Patrick on Starrcade 97.
Yeah, Nick Patrick. We'll never know what exactly. We'll never know the exact details of what happened.
No, because Nick Patrick's a worker from way back.
His family's been in the business forever. Though he's not exactly about to be employed anywhere, so why don't you say what happened?
Well, because he wants to be.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's that old mentality is that you never know when the phone will ring.
Yeah, right? Bring your gear.
And actually, speaking of that, there was a Scott, or a Rick Steiner. It was Roderick Steiner against Nick Patrick from UWF is on the Mid-South, Legends of Mid-South DVD. So it's interesting to watch Nick Patrick as a looking exactly the same, so you can see why he didn't make it as a wrestler. But, funny.
It was actually pretty good. I remember when he was in WCW there and playing the heel referee for NWO at one point. I thought he was actually a pretty damn good promo. He would cut a couple promos. He got good heat.
Yeah.
I thought he had good delivery and looked confident. And yeah, I mean, that explains why, right? Though, but yeah, I mean, I thought he was a nice promo. So, I mean, I think he could definitely come in. Okay, maybe he's not going to be a referee now, but he could be a great heel manager, I think.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, he's got some ties to it there, right? So, I mean, why... really, the short answer is, you know, why the fuck not?
Yeah, but I mean, if he was to say what happened, I mean, would it ruin his relationship with the WWE, or is it just going to keep him from going to TNA? And what's that going to matter?
Well, exactly. I mean, first of all, TNA has to be in the position to hire people.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, but. And we'll get there, but. It's
or even retain, you know, or even retain people even more so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's yeah. We'll get there yeah. too because there's a laundry list of guys, yeah. but and gals, but
dolls. No, we call them just, dolls, guys and dolls.
Guys and dolls. Well, you do. Anyway, okay. Let's go back to Raw. Fast count. Scott Armstrong is in
Raw cahoots. Or Night of Champions?
No, we were past Night of Champions. Fast count, so now we're on Raw.
It really was that small a show.
It was. Yeah. That was
okay. Go ahead. Okay.
Right back is
so we get into Raw, which I did watch, and let me tell you, I mean, you're watching it ahead of me. I'm watching it on delay, a heavy yeah. delay, and I'm like,
was that the only way? That's the only way you watch things, right? Heavy.
What are you trying to say here?
And there was a delay right there. Oh, that you're fat.
Oh, okay.
You know, and you... Sure,
I know you're not fat, but what is it that you do to exercise? How do you... What do you do? What do you... How do you... What is it you just...
How? What's the act of...
What's the act that you do to keep your an active lifestyle? What do you... What do you get?
Oh, I move. That was good. That was good. So,
anyway,
yeah, Raw. Yeah, the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Well, yeah, I text you. I'm like halfway through the show, or not quite even, like an hour in the show, and I'm like, I hate this show. Like, I hate this show. And you're like, well, this is as good as wrestling's going to get, so
might
as well stop watching it then. But it's like the first 50% of the show, awful. And then really turned around for me. But opening up with that opening segment, as you said, the fast count.
The fast count, and
we all knew that's exactly where they're going.
Yeah, and Scott Armstrong, I mean, Hunter got him to do it, right? And he's trying to play it off that Brian and I were in cahoots when everybody knows and doesn't actually care that it is. I thought they did something really good with it when he's like, give me the belt. And Brian yelled, no. And then got RKO'd and had it taken from him. Versus, because it was getting to the point where I was like, if he hands that fucking belt back, like,
I'm
going to be pissed.
Yeah.
And he at least said no, but got it taken from him versus giving it back.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
So I was fine with. I was fine with that. It what I was hoping, the title is vacant, and I was hoping that my first thought was, you know, you set up a tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
For it because it's this battleground. They got nothing, so you might as well have. I mean, you do an 8-man tournament. That's 7 matches right there. So, boom, there's your fucking show that nobody gives a shit about.
Actually, people would actually probably buy it then.
Yeah,
that's the only way. I mean, if you just get, obviously you're still going to get the match that people are going to want to see. They're going to want to see Orton versus Ben O'Brien. In theory, you're still going to get that in the finals. But
that's right.
You can sell it off the idea to hardcore fans. Watch Daniel Bryan wrestle 3 times in one night.
Well, yeah, and you get...
great in-ring action.
Great in-ring action. You can have qualifying matches on Raw and SmackDown, so they're going to give some of that 3-hour clod that they've got, 5 hours of television, is going to give some of it a purpose, you know, and a reason to be on there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you literally could have a 16-man tournament with just the 8 men advancing to the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's... But anyway, they're going to do Brian.
I think that would expose how many people aren't stars. I think you just keep it to 8 men. But
I guess, yeah. You know. But you do. So you're going to have Brian and Brian and Orton instead, just in a rematch.
Yeah, in the finals.
And it may
very
well
saying
be
that's what they're going to do instead. You're saying, yeah.
That's what they've announced on SmackDown at the tapings, that it's going to be a rematch, Brian. What they haven't announced and what the working plan right now is that it's going to be an Iron Man match.
An Iron Man match.
An Iron Man match. So 60 minutes. Woo! Every night.
Sold out?
Sold out.
Don't count on that.
In Buffalo, New York. Probably will be because they have like an 8,000-seat stadium.
I don't know. I know that they didn't sell out Raw. I think it was Raw or Night of Champions. Wherever they were, it was Night of Champions. In Detroit, they didn't sell out.
No.
Only 10,000. 10,005, actually, I believe was the attendance.
Yeah. You know what you can get for 10,500 in Detroit? Four houses. So I don't think that speaks to the popularity. I think that just speaks to the bankrupt city that is Detroit.
Yeah, I suppose. Right? And they were in George Lewis, which is, you know, I mean, not their, of the two stadiums they have, the more run down stadium.
Yeah. And your mom was in Joe Louis once, I think she told me.
No, I think Joe Louis was in her.
Oh, right. One of those things. Didn't do the strap. But, yeah. So, anyway, that was it. So, now you got a rematch. Then you fast forward to the Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
Or Dusty Baby.
Mm-hmm.
The Bull of the Woods. Talking about the fruit of his loin.
I thought this was awful.
I love Dusty.
I thought this was awful.
I love Virgil Runnels. Because, you know, it's real.
Yeah.
If we use the real names. I do still hate that. Yeah. But Dusty, yeah. And I wanted Stephanie to... I wanted Stefani. I was actually hoping that when she met Goldust in the back... the week prior, that she was going to talk about, oh, I hate it when my dad made you put polka dots on. And that would be her new gimmick, that she thinks everybody is like the older version. No, Big Show was Andre.
Exactly.
The Rock can be on, and he could be like, man, I'm so sorry you didn't get along with your tag team partner, Tony Atlas.
Yeah.
You know?
That would be great. That would be awesome.
I did love the fact that
you could have her talk to Natty, and it turns out she thinks she's talking to Jim Neidhart.
That would be tremendous. And I was going to talk about Jim Neidhart.
Oh, fuck, did you see that video?
Oh, what video? I watched Total Divas, the finale.
Oh, okay, you didn't see the video of him and Bret Hart. It got sent around, emailed around to me a few times at work. Jim is, well, drunk is not a strong enough word.
Excellent.
Or whatever he is. Like, he's this video, it's him and Bret Hart at some convention. And they're just doing...
Is it the older one?
No.
Is it an older
one?
It's
like a week or two old. Like, it's pretty damn new.
Probably the one from Montreal then, that Jericho and Foley and everybody was...
It's quite new. I'd say it's a week or two old. And
yeah, that's probably Montreal Comic Fest.
It could have been. Yeah, it could have been. I'm not sure, but...
I know Brett was there.
I think this is actually in Florida, if I remember correctly from the video. But yeah, I mean, Brett's sitting there, and they ask him a question, and he's in a good mood, and he's talking, and he's very outgoing for Brett. And then here was Jim, and he's just sitting beside him. He's just shaking, and his eyes are twitching, and he's just looking around all the time, and like he's fucked up on something.
That's excellent. You know why? Because he's on guard. Because you know what he told Brett he was going to do? I'll move.
Or drop him.
I'll move. But I do like... anyway, I did like Dusty. You could tell just realizing that this segment was death. And just like, you know... yelling into the microphone.
Don't interrupt me. And this is why I hear a lot of people are like, oh, this is great because Dusty's great. Dusty's great. And this wasn't good Dusty because this wasn't Dusty Rhodes. This was them scripting Virgil Runnels. And he forgot his lines. He forgot his lines at the beginning before Stephanie got there. And then when Stephanie got there, he forgot his lines again. And she tried to cover for him. And he tried to save his own heat by yelling at her.
Yeah, don't interrupt me. Yeah, but it came off really awkward.
It came off really awkward because Stephanie looked like she was about to laugh. So, you know, like, I think – and then, of course, you have Big Show come out there fucking crying again.
Oh,
And I just hate it. And so, I'm not This did not work for me at all.
The thing was, is the big, I mean, if you take away, and I have at this point, because that's why I said this is as good as it gets, is the fact that there is no real backstory build up to the fact that Big Show, this main eventer for the last 20 years, has made one bad or two bad investments and now, you know, is broke as he gets into his bus and leaves the arena.
Let's just look at it. Let's just say he's 1996, so 1995, yeah, basically. He was a main eventer right away. 95, yeah. 18 years. What are we talking about? What do you think is his average income in that period? 1.5 per year?
Yeah, probably.
So we're looking at a guy who's earned about, over the last, you know,
about $30 million.
Close to about $30 million. Yeah.
One bad investment. Well, the thing is that he does have to...
a strip mall.
Well, he does continually have to go in for those surgeries, though, because he slipped a disc in his back from falling off the roof of the Cobo Hall.
No, he was fine. Remember? He was
fine. Well, no.
He was invulnerable back then. The giant was fine. He only fell 10 stories.
You thought he was invulnerable. You got to remember that people were taking a lot of somas back then.
Ah, good point.
See? He only took 35, though. So he was fine.
He was fine. Scott Hall took 36. He's fucked up.
36. He is fucked up. But
by that measure, then Jim Neidhart must have taken 87.
Oh, God.
He was fucked up.
This Big Show, you know, Virgil-esque character that he's doing things kind of against his will,
yeah,
for lack of a better word. I don't have a problem.
I wouldn't mind it at all if he wasn't crying.
Yeah, and that's the part. But I mean, I can kind of, and yeah, that's the big thing to me is that he's a blubbering giant,
yeah,
and all he has to do is just be saddened, but he doesn't have to cry.
Yeah, exactly. Look conflicted, but fucking crying.
Yeah,
like all the time. I mean, it's just stupid. I mean, the segment worked because people loved Dusty, and so when he got hit, the reason another issue I had with it was right after, I mean, I think it was two segments later, because I think they had the Divas match, and then you had the Miz and Orton.
Right.
And, well, I thought this was a great segment. Here I thought everybody performed really well, whereas I thought everybody performed terribly in the other one. But the thing is, it's the same thing. It's essentially a guy getting stretchered out. Twice now, well, in a half-hour period, right?
I think you didn't like that one more because they flew you in live for that.
Fuck off.
You were sitting, yeah. You're not... You shaved your mustache.
Yeah, so yeah. My hair is not as long. I'm if I was 18 to 20 years older, one to 1.5 foot shorter, had a mustache, long hair, and another 30 pounds, I'd be Miz's dad. Yeah.
Another 30 pounds.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, yo, I'm Addy, joined with Mo's dad.
Mo's
or
dad?
Mrs. Dad. But you know what?
You're not an asshole. I'm not.
I've got a few more months.
3 more months.
I know.
Can you make it? 2.5 it's months, like, essentially. Can you make it?
I could have.
It's fucking hard now.
I could have had a non-asshole baby. But the thing is Bo or Mrs. Dad.
Wait. What'd you say?
What? Mrs. Dad.
You could have had a non-asshole what?
Baby. 9 months.
Oh, I see. I see. I thought you were accusing me of being pregnant.
No. It's you were going in for penetration. You know what she did then? She moved.
Anyways, I'm just retaining water. That's all that is.
Oh, I see. How much water?
Water, wheat, one of the other.
But I think that... you know, I don't remember where I was going. Oh, but Mrs. Dad and you had the same general feeling of the show, it seemed.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm.
He looked like he wanted to be everywhere else.
But the mom was so great.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Randy Orton was so great. Like, I mean, I had the segment leading up to it. I mean, there was just so much Stephanie in the first half of this show. And she's just such a shitty performer. And it's not, it's the wrong type of heat. It's go away heat. It's turn the channel heat. And she's not good. And you know, she should be killed. Something like that. But the whole logic behind them wanting the evil, bad Randy Orton, none of that makes any sense. None of what they said to him made sense. That said, his reaction to what they said was perfect. He reacted, he went out there and was really vicious, performed it great. Miz was a great fighting babyface. He was the Ricky Steamboat. I'm getting beat down, but every now and then I'll just fire back a few and keep you thinking that he can, you know.
Yes. Well, he was using the Ricky Steamboat rule where you don't take more than five moves before firing back.
Yeah, exactly. Just to keep the fans thinking there's enough chance that they'll be okay, or that he'll come back, just to you know, feed that belief.
Then, man, did he take a beating with that? Hey,
he really
just took a with that chair.
Well,
I mean, he Pillmanized him on the.
I've never
hand.
Seen that before, and I'm watching it. I'm going, this in the age of concussions when they don't do the headshots is a really risky move, and I was really surprised to see it. It was performed perfectly safe.
But did you? Yeah, but you know why they did that, and that's it exactly. Is that you think that in an age of concussions that it's going to hurt the guy? It turns out it crushes your thorax.
I don't even know what the fuck a thorax is. I thought that was a character in Marvel Comics.
Well, I always thought it was the Lorax, but it's the Dr. Seuss character. But
now that's who Mrs. Dad looked like.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, that would be excellent. And then your mom could be right beside him. The Horax. But I think...
So you're lucky that, we're on Skype, Axe. Why didn't Miz just put the figure four on him? Remember when he learned that? He learned from Ric Flair. He learned a new... was it called? What did Ric Flair say to him? I'm going to teach you a new
submission move?
A submission what?
Submission move. stretching things here on Weekend Wrestling. But
wait, just wait till later.
This is middle of the pack stuff here. But I would be almost certain that the announcers were supposed to say larynx, a la Ricky Steamboat, Ricky Steamboat.
I was thinking that too, yeah.
But then they said thorax, which is your chest, and I thought, huh. Yeah. That's interesting.
Either way.
Yeah.
Either way. How long do you think Miz is gone, and what do you think happens when he comes back?
Well, it depends on what you want to do. Again... We keep talking about this again. Thinking again with this superstar fucking pop. You got to slap this on hell on Daniel Bryan, Hell in the Cell, and let it roll. I mean, I can see you screw, or I actually could see if they do an Iron Man match. This is just again the fantasy booking coming out. The Iron Man match ends 3-3.
Yeah. Why not?
Still no champion. Now you got to go to the finality of Hell in a Cell. That's the only way that
I thought there was another pay-per-view in between there. No, I guess because I thought this was going to be four pay-per-views in a row by Hell in a Cell that they're.
No, they had the.
There's also going to be Survivor Series. When is Survivor Series before or after?
After. It's the next one after.
And that's going to be either a title match or probably a title match, it looks like, again between those two.
Well, you could do the rematch there rather than... I mean, if it depends on how long you want to stretch it. But, I mean, I could see Hell in the Cell being the win. And so spacing it out with a tie in an Iron Man match is, to me, a perfectly logical and acceptable way to keep it going.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and again, I mean, overall, we talked about, I mean, overall, when we talk about the Big Show and then we'll talk, and Dusty and Cody, and then I guess we should say that Stephanie offered Dusty the choice, you know, do we hire Cody or do we hire Goldust? Mm-hmm. You pick, motherfucker. And he just said, no, I ain't doing it.
Yeah.
And then that's when the Shield come in, which apparently it as we write this, I guess, or as we speak this, the working plan right now is at Battleground is the Shield against Cody, Goldust, and Dusty.
Yeah, yeah, the Rhodes family, which is weird because they have totally set up the Usos as number one contenders and Ziggler to face Ambrose again. I mean, at the same time. But, yeah, you can do those at Hell in a Cell.
I see. And I don't like it because I don't think Dusty should be in the ring at 68 years old.
Honestly, he's not going to take a bump. He's not going to – he would come out. He doesn't do – he doesn't ever take any heat. He comes out and literally puts on the bionic elbow 2 to 3 times. Now, keep in mind the reason why
– So
what's that?
So it's Dusty from 83.
Yes. He would be fine in there. My issue with it is he's going to do it right when he's about to go have some major knee surgery. And that's the reason why he lost weight. He's lost about 50 pounds because he's been told he'll recover quicker if he loses weight for the knee because he's about to have major, major knee surgery. So, I mean, the timing from that perspective doesn't work.
No, unless they work on the knee and you know what I mean?
Happen. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, but it'd be better if it was just – I think you just do a 2-on-3 match and or have Ziggler in his corner. Ziggler's as the sixth guy, or do a 2-on-3 and have Dusty outside. I mean, Dusty's got to be there, but
I don't think you do it at all.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like I think you leave it and you have the Usos and you have Ziggler again doing it. And then again, I just think that you can keep these things going and percolating because I think to me. The way you can kind of, again, I'm just a proponent here of keeping this story going because overall, the overall direction of WWE right now, I like.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't have to watch Stephanie, Stephanie really hurts the product, like, because she's awful. And outside of her, it's not bad, you know? And the thing is, you have, as long as I have Paul Heyman, I'm going to have half hour of great TV, generally a week. And Daniel Bryan will give me another hour right now of great TV a week. And then...
That's right.
You don't have to... And then if you just have, like if you have, like, a tag team match, like that six-man tag match... the three-team tag match that was terrific. You have something like that in between, it really fills out the show. So, I mean, because you have these two great things, you don't need much else. Like, you really don't need much else to make the show work.
But I'm looking personally at a way, how do I extend this story? Because to me, it's working.
Yeah.
How do I extend this story? And again, with that, you have the Hell in a Cell. And then I look, you do Daniel Bryan, Hell in a Cell. And then Survivor Series, again, you've set it up so you can have a team.
Yep.
Team Bryan of Daniel Bryan, Cody Rhodes, Big Show. Or maybe you don't even do Big Show in that one. Maybe Big Show is forced to be on the team.
Yeah, I think Big Show's
Orton and the Shield.
Big Show's on the Orton, the Shield, Big Show. Versus
Brian, Cody, Miz, and you know, pick two other guys that did Christian and somebody else that they fucked
Gold
over.
Dust. I mean, doesn't matter.
Yeah. Throw Gold Dust. There you go. There's your 5-on-5 right there. You know, and that to me then done.
Yeah,
that works
absolutely, absolutely. Well, again, what do you? Is that what you do with Miz? Like, I mean, he hasn't gotten over too much of the babyface. He's over that night largely because he's the Cleveland roots, obviously. But, again, he performed great as a babyface that night. This is where you can, again, have some momentum. And they usually do these heel turns so shitty. But this is where you can have some momentum as a guy as a babyface. But the booking from here has to be right. You know?
I think absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Oh, definitely.
In terms of,
definitely. And like, how long would you keep him out? I mean, you know, 2 months?
I would keep him out till Survivor Series.
Yeah,
I would too. Guy. Make him the mystery guy.
I like it.
And you can do the whole story of, you know, Brian and Miz have never gotten along. Miz was the mentor thing.
Yeah.
And they, going back, I mean, that was the whole thing. That was who Brian won the U.S. title from, kind of thing, right? I mean, you go all the way back to the, holy crap, you picked him?
Yeah.
And boom, right? I mean, so that's where I would do it. I'd have him return at the Survivor Series.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
But, and so, I mean, talking about that, I think the direction of WWE largely is, you know, you got your filler and, you know, in terms of the Divas, Total Divas stuff, and you got your, you know, they said the tag division, you know, tag team action hot and heavy in the World Wrestling Federation right now with the Un-Americans and or the Real
Americans.
The thing
is that they started to put the focus in the tag team division almost 1 year ago, and then somewhere, I mean, they kind of got near WrestleMania and they lost it. But I mean, they, you know, I think it was just about a year ago they started doing that. They did that tournament or whatever, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And we were surprised that they had enough teams that the tournament actually made sense. Yeah.
But I mean, I'd say of the last 12 months, it seems like 10 of them, they've actually had a fairly significant tag team, division. And the other thing is, because you have the titles on the Shield aren't being beaten one-on-two all the time and shit like that. Like you had. So the tag team champions aren't portrayed as these guys who are jobbers, not good enough to be single stars. Like they were for the longest time. And so, I mean, I think
that's what we were worried about that when they won these titles back, you know,
they've really benefited from what's happened here with the, you know, being the bodyguards to Triple H.
The security for Triple H. Exactly. It's been great. And that's, you know,
again, Big Show's the bodyguard, right?
Yeah, that's right. But it's a perfect role. I mean, it works so well. And it's got, you know, you got Daniel Bryan, and you're seeing guys like Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose, and, you know, all these, you know.
Oh, of course. Jesus Christ. Daniel Bryan did such an amazing job carrying a really good match out of Roman Reigns. It's great as hell.
Yeah. And I said to you, too, that Daniel Bryan against Roman Reigns in the main event of Raw will be very interesting, you know, come ratings day.
Yeah.
And you know what? They, you know, and I don't know what the
specific ratings. They're holding steady.
I didn't know what the specific ratings breakdown for, say, that match necessarily, they did a 3.0 and they did over 4 million viewers. So they haven't, I mean, they had their Labor Day drop, but you're right. That's the thing, is that they're holding steady, and I think they're slightly gaining, not a noticeable boom or anything, but they're holding steady to the point where I think there's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm still skeptical that Daniel Bryan has the crossover potential that some of those guys, but
I've never seen him in a dress, so I don't know.
But that said, I mean, CM Punk was never this over, right? Like John Cena was maybe close to this back when he was on SmackDown and he still had his edge, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, this is really the biggest thing they've seen in a hell of a long time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And again, it's, I mean, hell, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, Survivor Series right now, they're listing the main event of Bryan and Orton.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so they're talking about going that far out. So, I mean,
which, like I said, that would be 4 straight pay-per-views, which is a lot, you know. But they don't have to do that. I mean, that's the thing.
No, that's true. That's true. They don't have to. But it's just, how long can they sustain this? We talked very reminiscent about the CM Punk thing when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just waiting for the pedigree. And, you know, in some ways I'm still waiting for the pedigree. I have that, you know, I have that fool me once, you know, fool me twice.
Yeah.
So I'm still kind of waiting for it, but I am. The thing with the Punk thing, I always talk about it, is that we didn't just had Punk, but we had Zack Ryder, we had Mark Henry, and we had a lot of these guys coming up. And that's kind of what we see now, is that I like what they're doing with the Shield.
Yes.
You know, I like what they're doing with Punk and the Ryback, and I like, and obviously Daniel Bryan, and so there's a lot of things going. It's not just the main thing, but there's a few underneath kind of upper mid-card guys and things. You know, the Wyatt family you talk about, who I think are being used extremely well. with just promos right now.
Just go back here. I don't have the quarter breakdowns or the overrun, but 8 p.m. did 3,865,000 viewers. 9 p.m. was the strongest hour, did 4,162,000, and 10 p.m. did 4,012,000. So certainly a little bit of a drop, but better than hour one, significantly. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's
the average just over 4 million for the night. So 4.01.
Yeah. 4.01, and the football game, you know, drew 14 million.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
So
it wasn't a great game.
No, but that's a strong rate. That's a strong rating.
Oh yeah,
you know,
certainly
for a football game, right? Certainly. So I mean, it's not like they got a 10 million or something watching the Steelers and Bengals. So it went up against some strong competition and did well. So,
and again, it's without guy who has been the biggest star in the company for the longest time there. It'd be interesting. Like, we now haven't seen John Cena, what, 6 weeks? 4 weeks? What is it?
Yeah. It's about 4 weeks.
Is that all? It feels like longer.
Right after, day after SummerSlam, was it.
And how long was that? I thought that was longer. Feels like longer.
No, today's the 19th, and actually it was the 19th, so it's exactly
1 month. Okay. So next show, there'll be, you know, 5 weeks or whatever. The first week that he's there, that night, he's announcing he's, you know, out for a long time, boos. The next week, knowing that he's gone, Daniel Bryan announces him, boos. So they've had people stop mentioning him because they didn't want those boos. But would he get booed again next week? Or is there a point where he won't get booed? Or is this say, fuck off, we never want him back? Will the crowd always react like that during his absence? Because you talk about absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, yeah. I know. And that's going to be interesting with him is, does this, when he comes back at the Royal Rumble, let's say, you know, he's going to get the pop because everybody gets the pop. But then when does that pop turn to boos? How long in the Rumble does he get turned on? And are they prepared for that? Are they willing to do that? When is the time? I mean, it's funny because I mean, we're both members of the Wrestling Observer website. And they just put the back issue, up, and they just put the Bash at the Beach 96 issue.
Which is very interesting,
right? And so just
to go back and read.
It was just listening to the or reading about you know, the pros and cons of Hogan's heel turn. Mm-hmm. You know,
before
and
we actually knew the results. Yeah.
Yeah, before we knew, you know, the. Yeah, the huge upswing, right? Mm. So it's interesting to see that those are the same things that we talk about with John Cena. You know, the merchandising thing. You know, it didn't matter. It worked, right? So it makes me more and more, you know, thinking that this is the way to go. Is Cena as the heel and Daniel Bryan as the babyface, right?
Well, another thing you have to keep in mind, I think, is we talked about, I mean, Daniel, the entire time John Cena's been the baby face, the face of the company over the last decade, he hasn't had competition for that next spot. I mean, I remember an interview with The Rock was interviewed, I think, by that idiot on Off the Record. What was his name?
Oh, Michael Landsberg.
Yeah, the idiot. But
Yeah.
But anyways, he was interviewed. I think it was on there. And this was while Austin was gone, and he took off. And you know, they said to The Rock, well, you know, have you talked to Steve Austin? Do you know how he feels about you being while you're gone? He said, yeah, I've talked to him a little bit, you know, and Steve Austin understands you get to a certain point, you get to a certain level in this business, you understand that somebody else getting over isn't a bad thing for you. It actually, if it's going to create more money coming in, you're going to get more money yourself. So it's actually good for you because you know, but John Cena hasn't had to face this. You know, I don't know if he actually went to number two in the company, would he be comfortable with it? Would he be jealous? Would he be try and protect his spot? He's never had to face it. I don't actually know how the actual real John Cena would face it. Or would he be thank God the fucking pressure's off?
I don't think he'd be thank God the fucking pressure's off. I think he would be...
I think he's competitive. He's a competitive guy.
He's competitive, but he's not a member of the clique.
Yeah.
You know, he's not manipulative. And he's not a guy. I mean, he's the part of the reason that we dislike Cena so much is that those idiot writers give him something to say. He just goes on and fucking says it.
Yeah.
He has the power to make those changes. Yeah.
Occasionally,
and he doesn't.
Occasionally, he'll go off script while in the ring and say a couple things.
A little bit.
But not enough to say, fuck you, this is stupid. I'm not saying this.
And yes, exactly. And he doesn't. So for me, for him to be, he's not the number. We can call him the number two guy, and you can hear him being about the number two guy. He's still going to go out and do all the Make-A-Wish.
Yeah.
You know, he's still going to do all that in the community. I don't think and he's still going to be a huge star. I mean, when Rock and Austin were both there, one of them had the belt, the other one had the belt, but they were just running neck and neck,
But when Austin came back after being gone that long, they decided, Rock took the place as the number one babyface. Now they're both, we can't have both of them be the number one babyface. Maybe we should turn Austin. Austin going, yeah, you should turn me, which is stupid.
Yes.
But, you mean we talk about the pros of the Hogan one, and you talk about the negative of that one, right? The crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
But the thing is, the crowd reaction leading up to it was saying, turn the Rock,
yeah.
turn the Rock. And they turned Austin.
That's it,
and
exactly.
That's the difference. And this is where we talked about at SummerSlam, we were worried they were going to turn Brian.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, the fans were clamoring for, the fans were clamoring for Hogan to be a heel. Hell, as back as 1992 when Sid dumped him out of the Royal Rumble and they had to dub over the crowd.
If not
right?
earlier, man, we don't know it.
And we just don't know exactly, right? So, I mean, when he comes back, though, again, you're presented with, you've got that ability. And again, we talk about how you need to have a guy to take off. And I mean, if they sustain it, I mean, that's a nice part about John Cena. If there's a nice part about being injured, the nice part is that he's going to be away and you're going to get that time for the rest of this calendar year to see if that pop sustains for Daniel Bryan. I think it will, but that pop has to sustain. Yeah, and if you can keep that, that's going to be 6 months worth, basically, of a superstar pop, right?
Him carrying the company. And the,
well, 3 months of him carrying,
three
the,
months
company,
of him carrying
but,
the company. But the, and the X factor, though, in all this is that...
X-Pac?
No.
Just
the X factor...
Albert?
No, this doesn't
Did
suck.
Deal with the X
This
factor?
Is something that doesn't oh. suck. No, the X factor in all this is the CM Punk is there. And at some point in time, CM Punk will probably get the chance also to be number one if Cena's gone long enough. I mean, if Cena's only gone to 3 months, then, but if he's gone 6 months, 8 months, it may not be all Daniel Bryan. There might be a point where we'll see if it's CM Punk now without the specter of John Cena, or maybe it'll be both of them. Like, he is too over he's too over to be the number three anything. He's got to be the number one or number two, either babyface or heel. You know what I mean? CM Punk.
Cena, you mean? Oh, CM Punk. Yeah. I mean, right now it's him and Brian, right? I mean, hell, when Brian was getting the beat down at the end of the show, or when he was getting...
That's who they cheered for. That's who they chanted for.
That's who they chanted for was CM Punk, right?
And that's what I mean. CM Punk could also be... We keep on talking about Daniel Bryan. CM Punk could also be, wow, you know...
I don't think so. I think Daniel Bryan is moving things in an intangible way that CM Punk just did.
I agree. I think so. But I don't know so.
No, I don't know so either. But, and again, I look at it, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And right now it ain't broke. So if it does start to, if the wheels start to fall off a little bit.
But
okay,
I mean, storyline wise, how long can you keep him out of the title picture?
Punk? I look at this year for Punk a lot like... the year that Cena had last year, mm-hmm. right, where you can kind of, he'd been just pinned by Heyman, you know, he lost to The Undertaker, he lost to Brock, you know, he lost his title, you know, he's going to have a shit year. And then, so does he amp up in 2014? And can you do Bryan and Punk in a match? I mean, right now,
I think you can do Bryan and Punk as the main event.
I think what you're doing right, yeah, but I think what they're looking at, and there still is, and I'm listening to his podcast, and he keeps talking about being in the gym, and that's Steve Austin. if Steve Austin is going to do the match, Well, you don't know. I don't know. They're
he said,
really...
what was it, 6 weeks ago, he said he's not going to do it, or a month ago or whatever.
Well, yeah, because he always tells the truth. But I still have that. They're pushing him for – they want to fight Hunter.
Yeah, because they're fucking morons.
And he's like, fuck that. So you want me to come back for Hunter? No.
Yeah.
But he'll come back for Punk. If he's going to come back,
yeah,
I should say he's coming back for that. And that's, you know, so who knows right now where that is, where do you look at WrestleMania? You know, you still have, if you keep building it, if the best part to me, we're talking about John Cena being the heel, absence make the heart go fronder. If he sticks on the heel, like we all assume that he will get that heel reaction after the pop, he's good. He's not going to win the Royal Rumble. Let's say he's in the Royal Rumble, but he doesn't win the Royal Rumble. He goes out, and you slowly do it, which is the way to do it. Is you do this slow build thing. Still, is that he goes out, and as we've said, you know, months and months and months and months ago, is he fights Taker.
Yeah,
and that's guaranteeing. That's a fresh match. It's guaranteeing he's going to get booed, and then the night after WrestleMania, that's when, or he could cheat in the thing. He could break the fucking streak and make himself an ultimate heel. Or he could just turn the next night like Bret Hart did, you know, yep, in terms of with a promo and everything. But that, to me, is your tailor-made John Cena heel turn that you can then start the build for your the guy, Daniel Bryan, ultimate babyface if things hold up, against the heel.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You know, and then you have CM Punk as your number two babyface, like you said.
Mm.
You know, and then you've literally got Orton and Cena against the new guard of Punk and Bryan.
Sure. Yeah, actually, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Orton and Cena teaming up as heels would actually be a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah. And I don't think you do it right away, which is nice, because you got that in your back pocket, right? Yeah,
exactly.
So, I mean, the possibilities that they've got right now are pretty good. And
they have
to
stay patient.
That's the thing. And that's what they haven't done historically. Well, historically, but the numbers are not pushing them to panic yet.
No.
And that's the good thing, is that the numbers are holding steady, and we'll wait to see what these buy rates come in at for the Survivor or for SummerSlam, Night of Champions and such. But so far, the numbers are holding steady, which is meaning they haven't had to push the panic button.
They're holding steady at the house shows. They're holding steady at the television ratings. I mean, we were predicting, you know, really bad ratings when Monday Night Football came back, and we haven't seen it a couple weeks in. Now, that said, I have a sense that this pay-per-view is going to do bad, and that Battleground's going to do bad. And it's unfortunate, because if John Cena was there, I have a sense the Night of Champions would have done bad, and Battleground will do bad.
Yeah.
But
no,
you have
right.
your scapegoat. And when I say bad,
well, you do.
I say that I think there's a strong chance these are doing below 110,000. Which is, and they're not going to blame Randy Orton.
No, and I don't know that they'll look to blame. I mean, who knows? I mean, the thing is that they've
got...
How many shirts
do you see of Daniel Bryan's being sold in that audience?
Not enough yet. I don't know. I saw a lot. There was Night of Champions, there was a lot of red yes shirts. Mm. Yeah, there were a lot. No, I don't see the beard shirts, but again, it's like we talked about. The beard is like off-white.
Yeah.
So if people are wearing them, you don't fucking know.
Mm. If you enough know, people are wearing like, them, you know. Enough people. There was a point where enough people were wearing the CM Punk white. And that's
bright white, though.
Yeah,
the shirt that the beard shirt looks like every
gray,
shirt
right,
that
it's
I.
It's a gray shirt.
It looks like the shirt I'm wearing now, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
It's just like. Yeah. It just blends in.
Reflection shirt.
And, yeah, I think so. Something like that. But it's got Skeletor on it.
Fucking A.
But anyway, it has
Edge on it. Nice. Nice to know.
It totally has Edge on it, yes.
That's one of the few things that John Cena ever said that made me laugh, what he called Edge Skeletor.
Yeah. Because it was true. Yeah, there it is. 1.01 million viewers on Raw there. I think for Raw, I just wrote Raw.
4.01.
4.01, yeah. For Raw, I wrote Heyman good, Show good, Bryan good.
Well, Show does a great job with what they're asking him to do. Unfortunately, what they're asking him to do is shitty. But like I say, you had the tag match. That was the other thing. I mean, I wasn't as big into, you know, Ambrose and Ziggler, but it was all right. Not bad.
So. Yeah, it was okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But, no, I think...
Hey, the Usos are awesome. Man,
they are.
And they were doing the Rikishi dance at the end there, too. That was great.
Yeah, yeah. And Antonio Cesaro, awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, he's a guy, again, that, you know, as you're building... He's gonna be a dark horse guy that they can.
I think so. I think the fact that he can be in a tag team doesn't gives him enough of a television exposure, and even if he loses, though, it's as a team, it doesn't. You know, I mean, it just kind of hides him. Like, he's hidden right now, and just getting television time, and when the time comes, you can pull the trigger on him. He's like you say, he's an ace in their sleeve, like, that they have right there.
He's the guy that I see. I see when Chris Jericho comes back saying, I want to work with him.
Yeah, I could see that. The thing is, eventually, he should be a great babyface.
Oh, yeah, especially now that he's got that giant swing.
Yeah, he's got, well, it's just in general, his moves pop a crowd. So.
Oh, yeah. But that, for the WWF audience, that 30 rotation giant swing or whatever.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, which he did as a comedy character in ROH.
I know.
That's a funny part. But, yeah. But, I don't know. Do we have anything else to say about WWE? Is anything else happened in WWE?
Not really. I think we covered it pretty well here. I mean, that's the stuff that matters. So.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, speaking of a former WWE challenge, did you hear who Morphine sized?
I did.
It's time to take out the track marks.
All right. Tell everybody what happened.
Duke the Dumpster Drossy tried to sell morphine to an undercover cop.
Mm-hmm. Former WWF star in like 94, yes. 93, that range.
In the bad time.
Yeah, he had the bad era. And when they had the bad comp, or, you know, the bad gimmicks, the, what do you call them, the cartoon, like the gimmicks.
Yeah, cartoon. And I think he was like the first.
Yeah, he was.
Like him and Doink the Clown, like
showed up. About the same time. And, yeah, not very good wrestler. Probably his claim to fame might be, I think it was 1995 when he won the match against Triple H to become the last entrant in the battle, or in the Royal Rumble.
That's
probably his highest wrestling achievement.
Yeah, when he feuded with Hunter, yeah.
My memory of Duke the Dumpster Drossy is the imitations he did. He could do dead-on imitations of everybody. So they had this vignette they did for 3 minutes where he did probably like 10 or 12 imitations of different wrestlers. Like his Undertaker and, you know, different guys, right? And it was great.
On the Action Zone.
Yeah. But, he's been working as a special education teacher. So
I was about to say. Wow.
He needs some morphine.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Well, he had some. He was trying to sell it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The thing was, the only reason he had it is because he's a special education teacher, and he was giving it to Melina.
Mm. Mm. What are you saying about her?
She's retarded.
Oh. She is.
But
I'd bang her.
I don't know. You would. Yeah. You would. But you know what you do before you could bang her? What? She'll move. So she says she'll move. This is great. Great stuff. As you can see her put the cigarette in her mouth, pull it out. I'll move. Oh, Jesus. You know who's fired?
Who?
Vader's kid.
Yeah, I heard. What was he wrestling as again?
Jesse White. Mm-hmm. No, that was his real name. I don't remember. Derek... Or
Jack something, or
yeah, I was gonna say Jack, bullshit man. I don't know. It was
either way, The guy...
Jake... Was he Jake Hager?
No, Jake Hager is Jack Swagger's real name.
That's what it is. Was he wrestling as Jack Swagger?
But it was something similar.
Oh, I think Jake Carter.
Jake Carter. That was it, yeah. Yeah, Jake Carter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he looked nothing like Vader. And, fact, he looked nothing like anybody. And he was really green and not a bad athlete and big enough, but just not showing much personality, I think. And so the question is, does he – like his what he needs to do is get out there and work some indies and try and get some overseas gigs and whatever. And maybe as Vader's kid, he could go to Japan. Other than that
– Japan, I was about to say.
Yeah, maybe because he's Vader's kid and Vader's so over there. And because Vader could probably do a tag match or something with him. But the fact is – I think he might just quit the business. Like, hey, I gave it a shot and it didn't work out.
Yeah. If he's really serious, you know, he'll go train with Harley.
Oh, hey, you know, I can see that.
Let's see. It's a trade. So,
because you know, Vader knows Harley.
He does. No, he doesn't know. He thinks he knows Harley. He doesn't know Harley.
He spent a lot of time with Harley. You know,
he knows Harley. He doesn't know Harley. Not know Harley. But yeah, as one Jesse White gets released, we have the return of Gavin Spears.
Yay!
Oh, so that's about the same.
And who's he?
I don't know. It's Sean Spears. He was actually him, and I believe he was the Ohio Valley Southern Tag Team Champion with Cody Rhodes.
Oh, that guy!
They were like a tag team
forever ago. Yeah. Wasn't he part of the Spear Squad?
No. This guy was Gavin Spears in the ECW. He was in ECW when they were trying to bring the same time as they were bringing
they brought
up the
him back. Where's the what's fucking, he been doing over the last few years? Wow. Well, he was released.
I don't know. I think he went to Japan. Oh, I think.
Okay. We don't know. And when we don't know, we'd like to say people go to Japan because nobody can check. They don't keep records over there.
That's right. Well, and if they do, they're in Japanese.
That's right.
So yeah. So he had a great career in Japan. I believe he was the Japanese champion. the heavyweight champion of Japan.
I think he was.
For World Japan Wrestling, which is their big
promotion. Yeah, that's right.
Run by I think it was
Bigfoot,
Mr.
Bigfoot
Suzuki.
Mabba. Is Bigfoot Mr.
Mabba. And Mr. Suzuki.
And Mr. Suzuki.
Yes. Hiro Suzuki, I believe.
If you want to be. Yeah, Hiro. Exactly. If you're tight with him. Yeah, he's a huge star. Huge star. I'll never forget the 5-star matches we got in the early 90s with Hiro Suzuki and Mr. Fujiwama versus Bigfoot Baba and Hackslash. Remember him?
Hackslash, yeah. Hackslash. Still alive, Hackslash. Oh, yeah? I believe listens to the show.
Maybe, possibly one of the biggest stars in Japanese history. We're giving you guys a little bit of for those of you who are North American and haven't heard of a lot of Japanese wrestling.
Hackslash
history lesson there.
Hackslash real name Hakusher Matsumoto.
That's right. So. Hakusher Matsumoto.
I think I ordered that once.
Do you remember? Really, you got that from the sushi place around the corner?
The sushi bar. Yeah.
Remember Yushin Akira? Remember him?
I do.
Yushin Lightning Akira. A huge, huge star. Super heavyweight. Yushin Lightning.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and he had a lot of
used
five
great matches with the other Yushin. You shouldn't have done that.
You shouldn't have done that.
Big star in Japan.
Yeah, the funny thing about you should have done that, actually Brazilian, but made his made his fame over there.
Yeah, no, I know. It's good. He had to get away because he was tired of all the waxing. Mm-hmm. But
I'm not.
No, I know. A lot of wax. That was to take it out of your ears, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So from Japan, we go to someone actually going to be wrestling in Wrestle 1 for in Japan. Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, yeah? For Wrestle 1?
Apparently, yes. That's J-E-F-F. J-A-R-R-E-T. Apparently 46? Getting more...
46?
46. Getting more and more involved, though, in the back in TNA.
Well, yeah, because they fired everybody else, and they have him under contract. They can't really fire him. So you might as well use that guy, I guess.
Well, he was just sticking in Nashville. He went away for a while, but he'd come back and was working in the office in sort of the promotions department.
And so they brought him back in, and he worked as an agent.
He's working as an agent, and he's getting some. He's getting a little bit of say in the creative, or he's getting his hand back in the creative with things too.
That's not a good thing.
He's inching his way back in. Well, as soon as you watch a match, as soon as Bobby Roode and say James Storm have a match, or Bobby Roode and Magnus, let's say, have a match, and it starts off with them brawling through the crowd,
you know it's him.
You'll know he's back.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just an interesting that he's starting to, you know, as there's talks and rumors about, you know, Hogan and Bischoff and what's their, you know, what are they doing here? What's their status going to be? Because it's every October, coincidentally, right before Bound for Glory, that Hogan's been able to hold up the cunt for some money. And now there's a little bit of a pushback there,
yeah,
right?
So. Yeah. Hey, and tell you the truth, I think Hogan would have would have gotten a new contract. He doesn't do that video game with the WWE. If he doesn't become part of 2K14, I believe, because all of a sudden, one of the times that they made money prior to Hogan, they did have a period there about 18 months where they were breaking even or making a little money. It was because they had a video game. And since he's been there, he's done a video game for Kinect that didn't involve them. And now he's got involved in this project. And, you know, it's very difficult to sell a TNA video game where Hulk Hogan is an exclusive to you. I mean, that's one of the few selling points that they could have had. So, I mean, I really think he doesn't do that. He gets signed back with TNA. He does that. I'm not so sure he's coming back now.
I don't see the value.
Well, no, I never have, but...
No, but that was the value, was that, if he had some licensing and merchandising that he could do for TNA and make the money that way, in terms of a video game, not necessarily the t-shirts or anything that way, but in terms of, especially a video game...
That's really a big deal to them, you have to understand.
Yeah,
it really is.
Because, I mean, quite frankly, the other master, Spike TV... You know, you're going to get your 1.1, 1.2 with or without them.
Yeah, they've proven that. They've gotten no difference.
No, and they could do that with, you know...
I understand that his presence helps get... when they're trying to book arenas, that it helps open up arenas and markets. But it doesn't matter, because once they open it up, you still have to get people through the door. Just because a promoter has agreed to let you run in his building doesn't mean fuck all if you can't get him in the door. And he can't get him in the door.
Well, let's move to that other point then. Is that TNA is looking now in March of 2014 after their UK tour, is they're looking at going back to one single venue.
Yeah, but we don't know where.
And they don't know where.
No.
The Impact Zone is no longer the Impact Zone.
No.
The Nashville Fairgrounds are toast.
Yeah, you can't go back there. It looked awful.
Now they're looking at Vegas.
One of the places they're looking at. But and Vegas
I don't
makes
think
sense.
That makes
you always have tourists, and I think you can get, if you're looking at giving away a free show, you could probably get, 300-400 people into some little place in the Mirage or whatever,
The Showboat.
Yeah.
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 Back in the AWA. But, I mean, you could, but... Now you got to then...
Fly people in.
A, fly people in, or B, get them to move to California where they can... You know what I mean?
California
and the whole point
Las
of
Vegas,
of,
yeah.
And the whole point of Florida is the tax situation.
Yeah.
Is why all the boys live in Florida.
Yeah.
It's why all the athletes freaking live in Florida, for God's sake.
Entertainers,
right?
Too. A lot of entertainers.
Yeah. I mean, their tax situation is perfect, so you've got that. I mean, to me, but where else can you go? I mean, you can't.
There's got to be a place in Orlando. I mean, they're still looking at Orlando. They're not looking at Miami, yeah. Jacksonville, anything like that. They still want a place where there's going to be, because Orlando for tourists is still, for the type of tourists they want to attract especially, is still the place to go. But, it's amazing to me that there isn't something else there. I mean, there's got to be something.
Well, where's Disney MGM still going? That's where they used to.
Disney World still exists, right? So, and that's in Orlando.
I just don't know if that MGM where they used to type the nitros and do the Saturday night tapings, right? That's where Bischoff's got.
Maybe it's just the idea that it's extremely expensive to be there. I mean, they can't look at that's much too, true. Right? So, I mean, I don't know, but I just can't believe there's not something.
No, there's got to be something somewhere, and I mean, maybe it isn't. I mean, the fact is that you. I guess you got to weigh the cost because, again, you got to fly people in. And now if you're doing a month's worth of shows.
Like you say, if you don't fly them in, the only other option is tell them that they got to go to Vegas. And like if you were to tell Harley, for instance, say he's working for the company, you're to tell him, you got to move to Vegas to be on the show weekly. What do you think he would say?
Oh, move. actually tell him to fuck off. But
fuck off.
Fuck off. But I mean that's the whole thing, right? So I mean I don't see Vegas. I never saw Vegas as viable because you're going to have to fly somebody. You're going to have to
they
fly everybody in.
They have done a couple shows from there, a show or two from there. And I don't recall an overly hot crowd, so.
No, but they had that. I think they did it in the Hard Rock.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Where they did it, and the same place they've done some UFC, done some.
Why not a
Ultimate
mall?
Fighters.
Why not Mall of America?
The Mall of what? You know what? But again, every week. I mean, again,
why the fuck not? If you could, is there a great mall in Orlando? If there's a great mall, why not every week do a show from there?
The Mall of Orlando. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, and the thing is,
people still go to malls.
It's got to be in Orlando. Like that's to me is the only
option.
It has
to be, yeah.
Because you can't fly people in.
And what about Folsom? What's going to happen to Folsom University now that NXT has isn't NXT going to be taped now in their new
the performance center? Yeah. I think it's right around the corner though. So maybe they will go to Full Sail. I mean,
that'd be hilarious.
That would actually be pretty funny. Yeah. But about what they need. But I mean, you could go to university. University. Some form of auditorium that they've got there too, right? And probably pack, a bunch of college and other people in for free too.
Yeah,
so you've got those options somewhere in that area because you can't fly anybody because the second you start flying everybody somewhere, it's less because you don't have a building expense. Or production moving around.
Still too expensive
for
them.
It's still way. It's
like
you're,
I said,
you're only cutting it
right now. Ken Anderson, right now off TV, no contract. Mickey James, they did something smart for once. They took the title off the person who doesn't have a contract for the first.
They
that
did.
Might be a first for TNA.
Yeah. They gave it to ODB, but
they still took the title off Mickey James, which is because I mean Mickey James is actually one of the best things that they've had. On their TV there. Now she wants to go back to the WWE at 34 years old. She probably does have one last run in her and she looks great, but she left with a lot of heat.
And the only way that I see this, her coming back in, and actually it would be, she was stalking John Cena basically.
Yeah.
I think they banged once or something.
He was married, but they banged.
And then
Meltzer talked about how they had a relationship, and then they had the little scene where they're backstage gave her the panties, which was an inside joke. But no, they fucked and not once. I think they fucked a few times.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
And then she wanted to keep banging him. And this is after not the first thing she'd done to have heat because she before that when she was banging Ken Anderson. What was his name actually? Ken Doan. Yeah.
Yeah,
Kenny Dykstra of the Kenny of the Spears Squad. Yeah, when she was banging him, he had a lot of heat, and that transferred over to her. So, but yeah, I mean, she was stalking Cena. So,
Yeah, so, I mean, that was the whole thing. So, I mean, and now you get the whole Total Divas thing with Nikki and you know, and as, I mean, who knows. But, yeah, they're gone for now, basically.
Yeah.
And I don't know that either one of them will be back. Yeah. So
many people are leaving. So those are two more. And it's like, in fact, Ken Anderson's probably going to retire, I figure, if he's not going back. There's 36. And WWE's not going to have any place for him, so...
No, God, no. I can't see him.
So retire, maybe the occasional. He'll be able to get a couple of indies and a couple things maybe overseas, Japan. You know, I believe he can probably go to Japan where he can wrestle. There's a few legends over there he could wrestle.
He could team with his brother Carl.
Carl Anderson over there against Sho Gasaki.
Sho Gasaki and what's the other one? Tano Marufuji.
Tano Marufuji. Yes. Sho Gasaki and Tano Marufuji, legends. Legend.
I believe he goes by. It's the inside joke. He's the lightest. I think he's only like 120 pounds. He's like a lightest of the super juniors or whatever. But Go Shozaki or Sho Gasaki goes by Big Sho Gasaki.
Big Sho Gasaki. That's right, and this is in the competition there to a little insight again. We want everybody to have proper information on Japanese wrestling. This is not at the World Japan Wrestling that you meant. This is New Japan World Pro. New Japan World Pro.
Yeah, NJWP, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and it's... You see a lot of misinformation about the Japanese wrestling scene, so I just want the fans, the listeners, to come to us to get the correct information.
This is like my favorite thing we've ever done on the show.
Not going to World Japan New Wrestling is Bruce Hart. But I'm trying to think of anything. I watched the Total Divas finale. Jim Neidhart, tremendous.
I mentioned he was drunken or high or something.
Yeah.
What did he do?
He just
probably spent the whole time.
He had to walk Natty down the aisle and like just looked like he wanted to be anywhere else. It looked actually in some points that he was somewhere else in his mind. He just was... I mean, this is a father walking his daughter down the aisle, and he looked pissed. He looked drunk. He looked like an angry drunk, is what he looked like.
Well, kind of like his one appearance at TNA.
Yes.
Or the last time we saw him here at Heart Legacy Wrestling.
Yes.
He walked her down. He didn't have to carry Natalya down, did he?
No, because then he would have dropped her.
I know.
But the best storyline, and they said, I mean, we were the stars of Total Divas, right? We had two appearances in a row. This one, Jim Neidhart and Ellie show up.
Ooh,
right?
Ellie.
With Muffy.
How's she look? Is still bangable?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And was there
and Harry,
you know, and then, no, well, Harry was there, but not shown really on camera. But Ellie, anyway, then meets Natty. He's like, oh, congrats, it's a big day. And Natty looks at Ellie and goes, oh, Mo says hi. So.
That's an inside joke. But maybe if you listen to our Royal Rumble episodes, you'll get that one.
Say hi to your mother for me. But
say hi to my mother for you.
I absolutely will say hi to my mother for you. Thank you.
Since then.
No. The best was, though, Ellie, as a surprise, made Natty a wedding dress.
Oh, that's probably a shoot.
And anybody that didn't see the episode, which is obviously less than a million or about a million people again, saw it. But... Ellie is the female, sounds like a female Stu Hart.
Yes, it looks like it too.
She's like, yeah, you know, especially now.
Yeah.
Oh my God. She's like, so I made you this dress. And she's like, oh, hey, I want you to go try it on. They're, you know, get some salty bullies or something and go try it on. But she goes up there, and it's like this god-awful dress thing that looked like, I don't even know what it looked like. It looked like something from, like, the poorest of mothers in, like, Jacksonville, Mississippi made this for their daughter in, like, the 40s.
Yeah.
This dress. It just... so awful, and it was just so funny because she's like, I really want you to wear this dress.
And this, I'm sure, was a shoot because Ellie is nuts. I used to work with her. She's nuts. Speaking of nuts, I'm just looking right now. Donovan McNabb, during the halftime of this game, is being inducted into the Eagles Hall of Fame jersey retirement. And I can't hear it, but I imagine he's getting booed out of the building.
Like John Cena.
Yes. Oh, amazing.
Like Donovan McNabb. John Cena is. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Do you have anything else? We talked about the downfall. You got a couple questions.
Yeah, I got a couple questions. Kind of interesting ones. This first one was sent to us from Happy Hands. And Happy Hands wants to know who do we think are the best jobbers in history and why? So I think this is right up your alley. What makes a good jobber, Addy? And back in the day, really, because you don't see you do see them still. Actually, I mean, you still have your jobbers. I mean, like
Zack Ryder,
who, by the way, I don't know if you noticed this, but Unsolved Mysteries this week had an episode on. I thought it was going to be on Bigfoot because it was a rare, mysterious sighting on TV. But it was actually of Zack fucking Ryder, who made Monday Night Raw for the first time in.
He did. Pat and Daniel Bryan on the back.
Yeah, exactly. That last angle, by the way, we didn't really mention that. Where
awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah, it was terrific. It was. It was like locker room standing up and rebelling, and it worked great.
Yeah, and then you knew they get that the office has to get their revenge, right, exactly. In terms of them. And then, yeah, it's
Zack Ryder, apparently, I think he actually wins his match that he has on SmackDown after this, so. If I remember correct.
Really?
Yeah, and the spoilers.
No. Him and Justin Gabriel lose to the Wyatt family.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's right. But at least he's on TV.
Yeah. He's on again because Hunter, says, because he was one of the two, him and Gabriel were the guys
that's
that
right.
ran.
That's a people. Couple of the jobbers. Right? But yeah, I mean, you still have your jobbers. You're Zack Ryder. You're, what's it called, three-man band, 3MB there.
Yeah.
But to go back.
They're a little more.
They're
more elevated.
They are more elevated, more personality, time skipped. Spent to them, but the product is different. So, to you, what makes a great jobber, and who are do you think the best jobbers in history? I think this is really because I'll sit there and I'll remember a couple of the jobbers, but you'll mention to me that you'll remember the jobbers' names and the guys and you remember. I remember the stars. I don't really remember the jobbers from back in the day, back when it was as prevalent, but you do.
To me, some of the again,
some of the best workers though ever were the jobbers.
Yes, and the thing is, and Roddy Piper and even Ted DiBiase talk about how they would go back and Brutus Beefcake used to give when he'd have to cut the jobber's hair, he'd give the jobber a 50 or whatever, right, for doing that to him. And DiBiase said
they weren't getting paid by Vince. And that's one of the interesting things. I mean, there was a few of them who were regular jobbers who were kept coming back and would eventually start to get some. But a lot of these guys, these local guys, they didn't get paid because Vince was – and, in fact, he didn't pay almost anybody. Even the stars weren't getting paid for TV because you're getting exposure. You'll make money on the houses and the money that you get. Like even like, the British Bulldogs would show up to TV and do a match with Bret Hart or, the Killer Bees or whoever. They weren't necessarily getting paid. Because the idea was what you do on TV is promotion to draw the houses down the road, and that's where you'll make your money.
And that's how you get paid.
So
yeah.
Same thing for the jobbers. I mean, hey, you're going to be on TV. Now when you go and work at your local promotion, even though you lost, you're better known and you can demand a higher price.
They would get they'd get a little bit of a per diem. But I think what made the best jobbers, again, a lot of it was because, again, they used to tour, and so you would get – the same jobbers, so you got some recognition there in terms of I'll throw out like some of the names, the Ricky Attackies, the Tom Stone, Dwayne Gill, all those kind of guys, Chris Duffy, these were regular guys. And of course, then you had Barry Horowitz and Steve Lombardi there as well, who and it became the Brooklyn Brawler. And then you, you had Iron Mike.
Lanny Poffo, right?
Just Lanny. Well, Lanny Poffo, I would say, was a little bit above that level. Lanny Poffo got.
I don't think Leaping Lanny Poffo ever won. The Genius didn't win much, but he got a little
bit.
No, but
I think
Leaping Lanny Poffo, did he ever win a match?
Leaping Lanny Poffo used to fight like the Demon in the opening match. That's what I look at him. He's like in that kind of. He's just a step below Coco Beware.
How about Iron Mike Sharp? Iron Mike Sharp was the guy who main evented. Was the jobber who main evented. You know what I mean? Like,
well, and Iron Mike Sharp used to be a main eventer.
Yeah.
I mean, and Iron Mike Sharp was a big wrestler in the 70s, and that's another thing, is that you got a lot of guys on their down swing, like the like Rene Goulet, and,
Tiger,
and,
what was it, Tiger Jeet?
Oh, there was no, Tiger Chung Lee.
Yeah, another one who was
a tag team with Mr. Fuji.
Yeah, was a
right?
star who was a jobber on his way in his last days in the WWE.
Yeah, Tony Garea was a jobber on his way out, and Frenchie Martin. And these guys that were, but those were wrestlers, again, in the 70s that then you transitioned to the 80s and became the jobbers. And I think that's the difference, and that's why they don't have them now, but, to the same level, is because that's basically what it was, is just guys, with the recognition that, were just getting beat but getting paid. And, when we talk about wrestlers not saving their money, that happened back then just as much as it had happened now. And so they just needed the income. Dennis Stamp's not booked. And he needs the money. So
you threw out the names, but who are the guys who you go, that's the best one? And like you say, what made a great jobber? Like,
Well, there's two. To me, there was two different criteria. A great jobber was either a really great bumper. Okay. And I think of guys like Tom Stone and Chris Duffy that could bump. Tiger Chung Lee couldn't bump.
No.
and I think Ricky Itachi actually could probably bump too. And he was, especially in the day of the behemoths of the 80s WWE, these lighter guys that could do those leaps. Ricky Itachi could do the crossbody into the one man gang's, arms, so he couldn't, but he didn't go over and just would squash him, right? Mm-hmm. Or Bundy or something like that. So, to me, some of the jobbers that stand out, again, name recognition, guys that, that what made them great was either, as I said, either the bump or just a little bit of the character that they had behind them. They Barry Horowitz patted himself on the back. He always lost. Just a little thing that it's like that differentiated him as a jobber, right?
Mm-hmm.
Special Delivery Jones. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had the name.
Well, but
for
again,
one thing.
At one point, he was a star too, right? He was
exactly. Right?
But we're
but then
seeing
he lost
him,
to Bundy.
Jones. Well, yeah, he lost to Bundy in the WrestleMania 1, and he was a jobber after. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was from Antigua, and he had the had the Hawaiian shirts or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. That he would wear. So yeah, that and my favorite jobber of all time is Iron Mike Sharp,
mm-hmm.
and. He was hilarious.
Well, that's it.
Because Iron Mike Sharp, every time he ran to the ropes or every time he made a punch, he would bellow and grunt and just make all this noise.
Yeah.
And it was just like, but again, like Barry Horowitz, you remembered him. And that was the thing. Running into the ropes, it was like, that's Iron Mike Sharp, the man they call B. And I went on YouTube and just watched Iron Mike Sharp matches.
They're hilarious. You'll just laugh your ass off. The thing is, though, as a guy who would bump and really get the guys over, I mean, I wouldn't put him in the category of some of these greats. Like the jobber was supposed to make the other guy look great, look better than he was often. Like, when you get a Hacksaw Butch Reed or the Natural Butch Reed, as he was in the WWE or WWF, he's not that good. He really wasn't that good. But he would look great when he's in there against the right jobber, who would make him look spectacular.
Dwayne Gill was another great bumper.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, but just enough personality so people could recognize them. But and the other thing you'd see was you would see a guy who would be a jobber in WWE and WCW. You'd see those guys on both TV, which was different. I mean, not all of them. There were some guys that were exclusive bobbers.
And some guys, like you said, would be your local champion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Barry Horowitz had a hell of a career in, in like Global and Florida and such, and would be a jobber in WWF, right? So, but I think those are the two things. You either had a really good bumper or you had that guy that just stood out a little bit. I think Barry Horowitz, Iron Mike Sharp is my favorite jobber of all time. I think Barry Horowitz is the best jobber of all time.
He was good enough to make you look great, but he also still had the personality.
And he had both, right?
But so. I think I looked at Jerry, I wouldn't, but only because, I mean, I'd look at him. I still like a guy like Iron Mike Sharp. There still was enough of Iron Mike Sharp because he was big that you'd go, maybe this is the one he's going to win. You never thought that with Barry Horowitz. Of course, eventually he did.
Horowitz wins. Horowitz wins. That's Horowitz wins. I have it like cataloged especially. I had written down. It's an old episode of Primetime Wrestling from, I don't even remember when, 1987 or something, with Monsoon and Heenan. And one of the matches, and I don't remember who he's wrestling, to be honest, but Iron Mike Sharp wins it.
Oh, really?
And it's like, and that's what it is. It's like Primetime Wrestling. I don't forget the date, 1987. And then right underneath it, right, Mike Sharp wins. So if I ever want to watch Iron Mike Sharp win a match, I'll just I have it.
That, and you know what? The funny thing is that might have just been their reward to him. Yeah, good soldier. Yeah. You know.
Well, he was employed like in the 93.
Yeah.
I mean, when you watch that Battle Royal that has like Giant Gonzalez in it and stuff like that, and Tatanka, he's in that, in that whatever it is, that 40-man Battle Royal they had on Raw. You know, so he's there that long.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, he was.
And he was useful. Hamilton, Ontario, Canada's favorite son, right? Yeah. Canada's greatest athlete. Well,
that's it. I mean, he was a jobber, but he would even get the promo time. Like, you know how they would do the backstage and vignettes? He'd get the promo time with the Billy Red Lions or whatever, you know? And he'd be hilarious there, too.
Oh, yeah, I got my muscles from chopping down trees. I don't take any of these anabolic steroids.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
It was great. But, all right. So, who was that question from, did you say?
Happy Hands.
Happy Hands. Good question there, Happy.
Speaking of being happy, I don't know if people know this about you, but I think we should reveal this right now, that you, as a matter of fact, hey, Addy. Like when you hear the music and you need to cut a rug, you got to shake your hips. You get up on the dance floor. Fool. Yeah. What is it you do?
I move.
On the dance floor. And then
I move. Oh, Jesus. Fuck. That's great.
Anyways, all right. So, last Twitter question we got from Exit Only here.
Really?
That's his name.
Wow. Well, do you want to talk about AAA Mexico then? Some tacos?
Yeah. So, anyways, he was.
You know, last time I had a taco, you know what my bowels did?
What?
They moved.
Mexican will do that to you. Oh, if you have Mexican, then they're definitely going to.
Yeah.
Guffaw. All right. Anyways, Exit Only. You'd like to know how important do we think that of getting a finisher over is, getting somebody's finisher is to getting him over. So what are your thoughts there?
Oh, well, I mean, it depends.
See, I don't think it depends. I mean, speaking of depends because your bowels emptied. You were wearing. What does old woman pussy taste like? It depends. But anyways, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, no, I don't think it matters because honest to God, in the WWE, it's everything. Like, it's not everything. It's not everything in Japan. The guys will have 3 to 5 moves that they consistently are winning matches with. You know, even TNA, you see a lot more flash pins and different things, even though they will have their moves. But WWE, their style, we talk about the WWE style, building to – they want to build to familiar spots, but they also want to build to the finisher. I mean, when they put on the – you know, when Kurt Angle puts on the ankle lock and rolls it back and forth and in and out and in and out, in the WWE, that's the WWE style. Getting, and if that move isn't over, the crowd isn't popping for the possible finish and the back and forth and waiting for it to happen and getting them on the edge of the seats. Like, their style, if the move isn't, if your finisher isn't over, you're not over in the WWE. I don't know. Did you hear me there? Did I lose you? Internet connection problem. So I will just. You're there. All right. So how much of that did you get? That you know, WWE. If people aren't popping for your finisher, you're essentially not over.
I could agree. I could agree with it. As we said, all depends, and that was where I was going to go, because then you jumped in. I said, are we talking about WWE or not? Because, yeah, I think it's pretty much right on the money. WWE is always built to the finisher.
Yeah, no, and it's true. I mean, like I say, I mean, they... I'm trying to think of anybody, if there's anybody out there that ever was over, whose finisher wasn't over, you know, or... anybody out there whose finisher was over that he wasn't over?
Well, I think there's been finishers that have been, I mean, I guess in WWE, no. I mean, I could say Petey Williams' finisher was over, you know. I'd even say that the Hurricane was the Hurricane was over. Look at, I would say Paul London, and even maybe Evan Bourne, right? Their finishers are over more than they are.
That's true.
I don't know that, that you've had a top star where their finisher isn't over, because that's...
Yeah,
that's,
I mean, was Hogan's leg drop over?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was already Hogan shaking and doing, you know, the finger point thing, and that was what got the reaction. The leg drop was the last thing.
When Warrior kicked out of the leg drop, it was like, wow.
That's true.
You know, and so that was the thing, because nobody did that. Was a different time, and we talk about jobbers. That again was a time where nobody did that. Nobody didn't have where now it's the point in this main event pay per view high caliber match where they're going to start kicking out of each other's finishers. You didn't have that.
No, that's true.
But the finishers are still over. I mean, the RKO, the now the running knee with Daniel Bryan, right? And then the yes lock, the tombstone. I mean, the pedigree, even Zack Ryder, right? With his Rough Rider. People knew what was coming.
Yeah,
lock for Jack Swagger even.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few guys right now that I'm looking at them like they're great, but they're not as over as they need to be because their finisher isn't over as they need to be yet. Like Antonio Cesaro, I don't think his finisher isn't over. He has a lot of moves that are over when he does them because they're spectacular. And his finisher, I mean, it looks spectacular when you do it on Albert or something like that,
or Giant Gonzalez, Kali.
Kali. Same
guy. That would be great.
He's in a wheelchair. So, you know what the worst part about eating a wheelchair is? No, wait, I forgot. What the line was. What is it?
Worst part about eating vegetables.
Oh, it's the wheelchair. No?
I'll move.
Yes. But anyways.
All right. Well, that I do agree though. That in WWE, I think you do need to have an over finish to really solidify and cement yourself.
Yeah. It's very important. Now, like I say, Japan is not as important. It's not important elsewhere. But WWE style. I'm trying to think of who else right now, if they could get their finisher over, would go to the next level. Like, is there anybody in WWE right now you're like, oh, man, they just need to get that finisher over, and then people will take a step and take notice of them?
Well, I do think Cesaro is a guy. because we talked about it. If you want to move him up and him doing it on like the Big Show or something like that, you know, we talked before, you know, this tag team that's a way you could go with Cesaro, right? So I think he's a guy that maybe not right now, but that's going to be his last key when he breaks out, is that it is going to be that neutralizer, that because he's shown he can do it to everybody. It's not like, you know, even a GTS where, you know, okay, maybe you can't do it on Big Show.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Antonio Cesaro has got that sight, that's the strength.
Which is one of the reasons why I think they started giving Daniel Bryan this knee. It's like, okay, he doesn't have anything to pin anybody with. And this he can put on anybody. The other thing, though, I mean, that's one thing about the Shield. I mean, they sort of have their finishers, but they haven't done a good job of getting the finishers over. Which comes back to the jobbers. The jobbers, main thing, get their moves over, get that finisher over.
Yeah, get the finisher, get the DDT over, get the $1 million dream over. That was their goal, their job, no pun intended. But you're right, I think the Shield is someone that they do need. I mean, Roman Reigns has a spear, but that's not his fin, and I don't know the finish.
Yeah,
you know,
and there's
mean?
Like three or four people using the spear already there, so.
I think Big E Langston needs to get his finisher over better. Yeah. A lot of these guys, too, need better finishers, for God's sake.
Yeah, a lot of the finishers look very similar.
I mean, the like the Crossroads and shit like that. It's like, you know, and they are really getting over Sister Abigail, though.
Well, yeah, because the Sister Abigail is great because he's got a name and he's got the great promos. The Crossroads, but the, what's it called again? When the Disaster Kick. See, that's great. Mm. You can put that on anybody, and that's a great name, and it's unique. So just drop the Crossroads, because that's...
Exactly. Keep the Disaster Kick. I like it. And you talk about, I mean, and you got to give, I mean, I think all of the Shield, like Ambrose needs a new finish.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I mean. Some of them you just need new, like Big E. He likes it. Needs a new finish. I mean, his finish is TARDIS.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But then again, I looked at Mark Henry, and I'm like, I thought the World's Strongest Slam was stupid the longest time. But you do it long enough, and people start to buy it. You know.
I was gonna say with Langston, his finish is one that exactly. I guess if you start beating people, people will just accept it.
Yeah.
I think that
I always looked at Henry, and I'm like, why the fuck isn't he using a Full Nelson or swinging Full Nelson like Ken Patera as his finisher. That would have gotten over huge. I never understood that. But
I always thought that he should be using it and having Ken Patera as his manager.
Yeah, for a while, I wouldn't say that.
And so I didn't know. That was back in 96 before I knew, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it just made sense.
But I know what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was my connection, right? Because I think he did, it was like a bear hug.
He did a bear hug. I think he tried to do like a torture rack thing at one point. But that's it, though. I mean, you don't have enough of these moves.
Right.
Like, you don't have a torture rack, a standing finisher like that. You don't have a sleeper finisher. I mean, they tried to use a sleeper with Ziggler for a little while, but, you know, they keep up on the finisher so easy. I mean, that's the other thing. That's pick a finisher that looks different, vary it up, And tag teams need finishers.
They do. They really do.
Usos at least have the splash thing, which is, you know,
something.
Yeah, something. But
yeah, they definitely. No, you're right. They definitely need finishers. I mean, the primetime players when they first come out were using Demolition Decapitation. I thought that was great.
And now they each have an individual finisher.
Yeah.
What's Titus O'Neil's called?
Oh God, I don't even know.
I know.
But it's Gut Check is,
yeah, they give it some name, so.
Gut Check is
Darren Young's, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't remember what Titus O'Neil was. If you said it, I probably, oh yeah, but.
Yeah. Yeah, the walls of.
But all right, well, I gotta get.
You gotta run, you got your house to sell, and. So,
you know what happens when I do?
I don't know.
Oh,
I didn't see it coming.
I know, right?
I didn't see it coming. I don't know. Anyways, okay, so...
So WeTalkWrestling.com.
Yeah, give the plugs, and then we'll go OUT.
That's a great website, is WeTalkWrestling.com. You can also find us Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. It's our Facebook page. You can like us and follow us on there. We're at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. So you can follow us there. We got a couple of other set of tweet questions that Mo read there. That's people hit us up on Twitter. We still have a couple there. Also have a couple that we got to get to at abdie@wetalkwrestling.com at our email address. So you want to hit us up with a question, you can do that there. And we're on Stitcher radio app. We're on iTunes. Of course, you can just type in Wrestling We Talk Wrestling, and you can subscribe. You can leave some a 5-star Frog Splash rating and leave some feedback on that. That's probably the best place to give us feedback, actually, is right on iTunes there, because that's a place that's pretty visible to us. So that would be perfect. But I think that's it.
All right.
So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, Addy, are you really not going to let me over to your house?
No. Why would I do that?